Okay, so here last year, year before last, what it was, since he was a doctor and he graduated from A&M, he loved football, still does. But he didn't realize when he made God a promise, God, I'll get up every morning from 4 to 6 and I'll study your word. Now, you think God's going to hold him accountable for that? Absolutely. If you make a vow to God, you better plan to do what you tell him, because he's going to hold you accountable. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to say nothing. Okay, better to not make a pledge. You know, it's better to not do it than to do it and then break it. Because what he was doing, when football season came along, he'd get up at 4 and he'd go in and turn a computer on when football season was coming up, thinking, you know, I wonder who's going to play for the Aggies this year. So it's been 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes looking, and then he'd go study the Bible. He did this for 2 or 3 weeks. And then one morning, the Lord had it. He said, Ty, he was in there looking around. He called his name. He said, Ty, you're a whore. Now, how would you like for God to call you a whore? You know, I wouldn't want anybody to call me a whore, much less God. But he called him a whore. He said, God, I'm a man. He said, it don't make no difference. You're a spiritual whore. He said, you promised me from 4 to 6 every morning, and you're the last 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it was, God knew exactly. He said, you've been on that computer seeing about them Aggies, and you're more interested in them than you are me. He said, you're a whore, and I don't like it. He repented. But just a few days later, he was out feeding his cows one morning, and me and him both wonder if this had anything to do with this. But his shirt sleeve was unbuttoned. Although he was praising God, putting the feed in the auger, that loose shirt hung in that auger and sucked his right hand down in that auger. He had a brand new pair of leather gloves on, and he screamed God as he's watching his arm go in that auger. He screamed, God, please forgive me and help me. And he said, Thurman, as God is my witness, I felt like a being put his hands right around me from the backside and jerked me out of that thing. It tore the whole palm of his hand all to pieces. They took a whole bunch of stitches, and he came and called me, actually come here, and we got together, and all of us as a team in the ministry, we prayed over his hand, asked God to forgive him for what he had done, and within a week that hand was completely healed, but virtually without a scar. Is God merciful? But when we disobey, does it bring forth serious consequences? Yes, it does. You know, and I don't know about Ty, but I believe his hand getting hung in that auger had something to do with what he was doing on the computer. But I believe every time we get out of that love walk with God and start walking in some kind of sin, it opens the door to a devil to do something to us. But when we call or cry out to God, he's merciful and forgives us. Now then, you know, the King James says in Psalm 106 that he gave them their desire, but he sent a leanness of soul unto them. But the NIV says he sent a wasting disease. The NLT says he sent a plague, which is sickness. Why did that come? Because those people were grumbling and complaining. We want to know why we have so much sickness and disease today. Because we do so much grumbling and complaining. If you grumble and complain, it will bring sickness and disease. And see, the thing about it is, a lot of people don't know in the Scriptures, in Philippians 2:14, in fact, turn to Philippians 2:14 in your translation, whatever translation you have, and I'll just get somebody to read that maybe in a couple of translations, and I want you to tell me from different translations, King James, NLT, NIV, or whatever you have, New American Standard, I want just one verse, Philippians 2:14, and I want you to read it and tell me what it says. Okay, son, you look like you got it. What does that say?
Yeah, this is New King James. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing.
Do how many?
All things.
All things Okay, what did yours say, young lady?
NIV. Do everything without complaining or arguing.
Do everything without complaining or arguing. What did yours say, young lady?
I was in 3. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay. You're not there yet?
No, I was.
Okay, you closed it up. Anybody else have it? Somebody else? What does it say back there?
Do all things without murmuring and disputing.
Okay. Okay, now wait a minute. Now we've read 4 or 5 different, and every one that's... Okay, young lady, what does yours say? Yours says what?
It's in the Greek.
Oh, what does it say?
It says, all things do ye without murmurings and disputings, in order that ye may be blameless and harmless, children of God, faultless, in the midst of the generation, crooked, it means crooked generation, and having been...
Okay, so how much, when we read every one of these different translations from the Greek all the way down, how much grumbling and complaining or arguing are we supposed to do as Christians? Is that pretty hard to do? But the King says, do all things without grumbling or complaining? I mean, I didn't write the book, did I? But he did say that, didn't he? If he says, do all things without murmuring and grumbling and complaining and no arguments and none of these things so that you can be blameless, who would you need to be blameless before? The devil walks in and he says, hey, any sin in your life? Let me see where I can see you. Let me look into the top of your right. Oh, right there in that heart. Grumbling and complaining right there. Oh, you think he'd get you? Sure he would. Now then, what if he looks at you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet? He takes a light, looks all that hard. He said, there ain't no grumbling and complaining. There ain't nothing wrong with that boy's heart. There ain't nothing. He ain't walking in no kind of sin. Is that a good place to be? You'd love to be there, wouldn't you? I would love to be there too. Why would I love to be there? Because I want you to turn to 1 John 5:18 and I want to show you why you need to be there. 1 John 5:18. I want to show you that if you do not sin, I want to show you the good part about why you and me as Christians should not sin. 1 John 5:18, you already found it? What does it say?
We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin.
Okay, wait a minute. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. In other words, when we got saved, we're supposed to stop sinning, aren't we? So that means grumbling and complaining, right? Well, stop that stuff, right? Okay. And what happens? What does it say after we stop sinning?
The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him.
Oh, wait a minute. So read that one more time, the last part.
The one who was born of God.
The one who was born of God. That's you, right?
Right.
And me.
Keeps him safe.
And? Who is the evil critter?
Satan
himself. So if you keep yourself from sin, no sin in your life, and the devil can't touch you, that's why he comes up and looks at you and says, let me look at this boy. I don't see no sin in him nowhere. I don't see no sin in her life either, so I guess I better go down here to the next house. He'll find somebody's house pretty quick that's got some sin somewhere, you know it? You see how important it is not to sin? Because when that devil, which has been sent, if he's been sent, and he comes out there and he says, I see some darkness in that heart right there. I got a home right here. If he sees darkness in your heart, where does he live? In darkness. If you got a little darkness, a little sin in your heart, then he'll just move right in your heart. And he will make you sick and afflict you and torment you, and your life will be miserable. And he'll make you sick and your children sick, and he'll do all kinds of things. You don't want to go there, do you? See, we don't understand. It took me a lifetime to dig all this stuff out of God's Word. But it's been the best thing I've ever done, is to dig these things out of God's Word. It has changed my life forever. It's changed my prayer life. It's changed the way I get answers to prayer. I mean, it's changed thousands of people's lives People that do what God says in His Word, it totally changes them. You know, they stop sinning. They start walking holy before God. They get in the Word. And just like the story I started to tell you a while ago about Terry and Frank, whenever we get that, there's actually three 30-minute stories with Terry and Frank. Now, in fact, the story of Terry and the reconciliation of their marriage and the healing of their children is so powerful. And they go to Robert Morris's church over here in Gateway. And Robert's wife wrote a book, and she dedicated one chapter of her book to Terry and Frank's story, because the story is so powerful. Well, they had them on James Robertson's with them, because obviously Robert supports James Robertson in a pretty big way. And so they had them on there with them the other day. And James interviewed Terry and Frank first about their story. And boy, he had a problem with what they said. He had a real problem, so he was very careful about how he asked questions. They might have got to talk together maybe 4 or 5 minutes to tell this powerful story. But just enough to whet your appetite maybe so you would buy the book. I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to take y'all out to GLC one day. We're going to tell y'all a story in depth. Well, I took them out there last week, and they were on 3 30-minute programs with me. They were on an hour and a half telling that story. Now then, I will have to say that when Terry walked in here the first time, and she said, Mr. Scrivener, I understand you have a healing ministry. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I have 3 sons that are all sick, and one of them's really sick, and he's going to be an invalid. He's nearly 9 years old. He's already had surgery on one leg, and the other leg cannot be fixed, and the doctors say he'll be in a wheelchair in another 6 months to a year. And I said, well, my first question is, what's your love walk like with God? Well, I study the Bible. I go to church. I said, well, what's your love walk like with your husband? Do you love him? Well, I prayed that he'd get killed in a car wreck. And I prayed it would be in an accident so I could get double indemnity so I could pay for the house when he died. You think she loved the boy?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.